The next storyteller has graced the Stoop stage before. We've been incredibly lucky to have Larry. And through the years, through the 10 years that we've gotten to know him, we've gotten to know his family, his incredibly lovely wife who brought us French fries tonight, which if you want to know the way to our heart, bring us French fries. Bring me French fries. Laura doesn't eat it anymore. She's had this stomach thing, and she only can eat, like, little portions. That's a reoccurring bit that I have that I hope everyone knows is just a bit. She works very hard to stay thin, but I like to tell the media that she gets a numerous amounts of plastic surgery. It's just, like, it will not go away as far as being funny to me, so I'm sorry. But she doesn't, at least not that I know about. Anyway, Larry Doyle is a writer. He is incredibly smart and wonderfully funny. He wrote for The Simpsons, which I think there's maybe just one person in the room who could say that. That's Larry Doyle. No, there's no one else here in Baltimore that can say that they wrote for The Simpsons. I'm not trying to shame everyone. I'm just trying to explain who we have coming up here after Dr. Wen. So please welcome Larry Doyle.
So this will be a little palate cleanser, I guess. By the way, I once had to follow a woman who told the true story of how her 1 4-year-old girl had died, and then how she went and adopted a girl from China who at the age of 4 got the same thing that killed the first daughter but didn't die. And then she finished, and everyone applauded, and the person who introduced her hugged her for a really long time. And then he went up and said, "And now Larry Doyle." I'm going to take a little more time on this. I was like, "Oh, okay, what am I going to do?" And I was thinking, oh, here's a gag. I'll hug him. And I had about 3 or 4 more of those. And I just decided, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to read my story about the teenage adolescent with the giant alien brain. Her name was Marietta. She worked in the English resource room. You know, Marietta. You know, kind of like Mary with sprinkles. I was a junior. She was a senior. And she was pretty in that nerdy way that really wasn't a thing back then. She had these big round glasses, and she was a little cross-eyed, which, you know, just drove me crazy. Just trying to figure out which one to look into. And she wore sundresses even when it was cloudy outside. And she was like bony in all the right places. Plus, she talked to me. So one day, I was at her desk in need of some English resources. And Marietta said something about something. And I replied, "Do you want to go to a movie with me?" Only not that cool. She said, "Yes." I may have gotten an erection. I mean, probably. I was getting them all the time. So just a little context. This was the year 1975. Play the number one song in 1975. The number two song in 1975 was Rhinestone Cowboy. So in 1975, everything sucked. we didn't have SNL, and we didn't have the good movies with an SNL cast members. And what passed for comedy was Johnny Carson spraying whipped cream on the crotch of Burt Reynolds' leather pants. And you can find that on YouTube. But we had heard tell of this movie, this outrageous sketch movie that had been released in New York only a year before and was coming to the outer suburbs of Chicago. It was called The Groove Tube. You can look that up. So we're going to see The Groove Tube, and I had my plan already. I was going to pick Marietta up in my dad's silver Cordoba. We were going to drive to Woodfield Mall, and I was going to buy the tickets, and I was going to pay for the popcorn and jujubes, whatever she wanted. And then, although Marietta was kind of a prim girl, the name of her religion had more than two words in it, I had scheduled some time for making out. The Cordoba had those rich Caribbean leather seats, and... You know, I really only thought two people would get that joke. But as I was imagining it, she would take off her glasses and shake out her hair. And then, I don't know, they didn't show that part in 1975. And I really wasn't experienced, and it was the Midwest, so we didn't have easy access to the sensuous woman. And... And I didn't have very much experience touching a girl beyond truth or dare. And even not that. I mean, in eighth grade, Greg Blair dared Julie Roberts to kiss me, and she quit. But that was another trauma. Anyway, this was not going to happen this time, because I just had it all worked out. But first, I had to get a driver's license. Teenage brain. So the morning of the date, my mom drives us like 20 miles to Libertyville where the DMV is, and I take the test, and of course I fail. But I only fail by one point. And this guy, because I had failed by such a little amount, and maybe was crying, he made an exception, and he allowed me to take the test a second time on the same day. My second tester had a crew cut, and he had this sort of permanently flexed face, like he had not had a bowel movement since Nixon resigned. And somewhere around the time when he yelled, "If there was a baby on that curb, you would have killed it," so that night, a banana yellow Hornet drives up into Marietta's driveway. I'm in the back seat. My mom is at the wheel. Marietta gets in the back, and my mom drives us the 12 miles to Woodfield. She hated driving on highways, so she's driving like this the whole time. Not that I can criticize. And we get there, and the line to buy tickets to the Groove Tube is going all the way around the building. And the line to get into after you've bought tickets to the Groove Tube is also all the way around the building. It doesn't look great. We get in line. We start chatting, and it's going really well. And, I'm feeling like we're on a trajectory to maybe making out. We get to the ticket booth, and I pull out my crisp $10 bill. And the ticket seller looks at the bill, and he looks at me, and he says, "How old are you?" He was rated R. Marietta was allowed in, but I wasn't. I offered to stay outside, but she was a good sport up until, that point. So I call my mom on a payphone. It's like a machine, slots of coins. And she drives back out to Woodfield, then gets with us and drives us about 15 more miles to the Randhurst Mall. I think my mom was probably pretty great after all, but I don't know why I pay for therapy when I could just do this. We get in at the Randhurst Mall, and it's packed, and everyone's excited, and the movie starts, And this woman is running through the woods in the movie, and this man is running after her, and the woman laughs, and she takes off her top, and the man laughs, and he takes off his top, and they keep running, and the woman takes off everything else, and the man takes off everything else, and he's, like, flopping all over the place. In my memory, he had red hair. And I'm pretty sure this was the first time Mariette had ever seen a penis. So I turned to her to sort of gauge her reaction, and she's just, like, staring straight ahead. The rest of the movie went like that. There was a TV clown who read pornography to kids. There was an ad for some brown sludge from a company called Uranus. At some point, I tried to hold her hand, but I couldn't pry it off the armrest. And then there was the venereal disease ad. This odd-looking puppet is talking about the signs of gonorrhea. You know, painful urination, white discharge. And this laugh starts rippling through the whole audience. And I realize, as they push in, that the puppet's nose is a penis that's been pushed through a hole through the backdrop. And it's been shot upside down so that the scrotum forms the top of the head and there are googly eyes glued onto the testicles. So I turn to Marietta, and I say, would you like to leave? And she said, no. So on the way home, Maria rode shotgun next to my mom. But we get to the end of the date, and we're on the porch. You know, it's just Marietta and I. And my mom is in the car in the driveway with the headlights on. And it was kind of like this. And, you know, a little embarrassing, and so I try to make the best of it, you know, break a little joke. And I say, so, I guess I'll take a rain check on that kiss goodnight. And Marietta says, yeah.